Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. There have been of late many, many postings of blossoming trees and flowers and newborns, both human and animal, especially on social media. All things aside, it has been a beautiful spring. It has been a good reminder, at least for me, that in the midst of the pandemic, that life, though different, continues. But it is sad that in an already taxed world and society, that ugliness, bad behaviors, acts of hatred and abuse seem to be on the increase. It could be that fear, a warped sense of privilege and power, along with a dose of ignorance, all bring out the worst in some people. It is 2020, and pandemic or not, the questions are still there as we ask ourselves, why is it that people of varying shades of brown and black continue to be looked down upon? Some of those who are actually on the front line so that our food can be harvested and that we can receive the fruits of their labor so that our stomachs can be satisfied, so that we can receive our mail and packages, so that we can receive health care and get where we absolutely have to go. So many other services. Why is it that people of color continue to be targeted because of the color of our skin, because of the kind of car we drive, or because we dare assume that we can walk or jog or shop freely and without being hassled? Do we really look any more suspicious than anyone else? And why is it? Why is it that justice is slow in coming or not at all in one too many cases? How long, O Lord, how long, we cry. Still we must cry. Not so much with salty tears, but with our cries for justice, so that wrongs are made right. For equality, not only for ourselves, but for our children. And for our children's children. Do not let your hearts be troubled. It is hard not to right now. I'm going to be honest. It is hard not to. It is hard as we hear of entire families being wiped out because of a virus. It is hard not to, as we are troubled by the way the virus is now mutating and presenting itself in new ways that not only affect adults, but our babies. It's hard to be away from loved ones, from our sick, from our dying, for the expressions of grief that we normally take, being together with one another in that grief. It is hard as we call out yet another name, Ahmaud, a 20-something-year-old African-American male who was gunned down while taking his daily jog. A jog, for heaven's sake. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Seriously, as we desperately try to find a vaccine, as we desperately try to figure out the new normal, as we search for appropriate guidelines, as some of us long for human touch, a handshake, a hug, as we figure out how to do church, how to be church. Sometimes things cannot be masked. It's hard to put on the good face. Sometimes it is just hard to admit that we are simply not in charge. And that sometimes it is hard to muster up faith in these times of uncertainty. On this fifth Sunday of Easter, our gospel does not retell a post-resurrection experience, but takes us back to the final night that Jesus spent with some of his disciples. In what is known as the final discourse, we, the reader, are privy to the final few hours that Jesus spent with his closest friends. So we are taken back to the upper room, the scene of foot washing, of the Last Supper. It was far from a party, as Jesus prepared his friends for what would happen in a matter of a few hours. He tried to tell them this before, but now his hour had come. The rubber was hitting the road. Things were about to change, and there would be no going back to what had been. So Jesus tells them to not let their hearts be troubled. And he reassures them that he is not going away for good. And while he would no longer walk among them in the flesh, they would always, always, always have his presence. That he would come back and take them to where he would be. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know where you are going?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. I am the way, and I know how you will get there." At this point, Philip chimed in and said, "That's all well and good, but before you go, show us the Father and it will be okay. Show us God." If any of us had been a fly on the wall, we can only imagine Jesus' face and the sinking feeling he must have felt when they heard them speak. After all, his disciples were the ones handpicked by him. For 3 years, they were his closest companions. They were the ones who had walked and talked with him, seen the signs and the miracles. They had learned tremendous lessons and heard explanations of profound revelation. And now when it counted the most, it seemed as if they had missed the point. How could they not know by now the connection between the Father and the Son? How could they not know and believe that Jesus would always be with them and in turn with us, showing us too the way? Many of us have walked with Jesus for the better portion of our lives. We've grown up in the church and in God-fearing homes. Yet our lives are not exempt from those times of doubt, of wrestling with our faith. There are times when we and the world want answers to our questions and we cry, "Lord, I think I believe. I know that you are there. Show me something I can see. Show me something that I can put my finger on. Show me something that will strengthen my faith, shore up my unbelief. Because right now, things are not looking so hot." And Jesus says to us, like he said to Philip, "Have I been with you all this time, and you still do not know me? Do you still not believe?" And we are reminded that Jesus came into the world not just to talk about God, but to show us God's presence, to help us know that his God is our God, that his Father is our Father, and our Mother, as the great English mystic and theologian Julian of Norwich once wrote. One of her most well-known quotes says, "As truly as God is our Father, so truly God is our Mother." How appropriate is that for today when we celebrate mothers everywhere? How true, as Jesus taught that all who follow him were to know that our God is that close, that loving, that caring. Think about the Gospels for just a moment. Think about Matthew's Gospel. Matthew tells us that the very naming of Jesus, Emmanuel, was a sign that God was revealing God's self to humankind. And in John's Gospel, we read that the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Saints of God, let us be reminded that God, Jesus, put on flesh and lived among us. God's presence was present in the very life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. God is present even now in this time and in this day, and will be tomorrow, even in the midst of our social and physical distancing. God is with us and with the world. God is closer than the very breath we take, helping us to show others the way. The way, who is Jesus. The truth, who is Jesus. The life, who is Jesus. There is an early gospel song by Walter Hawkins called Jesus Christ is the Way. Do you know it? In part, it says, when I think about the hour, then I know what I must do. When I think about what God has done for me, then I will open up my heart to everyone I see and say, Jesus Christ is the way. Saints, it is in times such as these that we are to cling tighter to Him and to our God. For God is love. To paraphrase Psalm 31, verse 15, our times are in His hands. Oh yes, our times are in His loving hands. Today, tomorrow, and forevermore. May our God add a double portion of blessings to all our troubled hearts as we seek to follow the way. Alleluia. Amen.